Parashas Mishpatim, there's a Sikha in Chelek Gimel of Likutei Sikhas that is a kind of a continuation of the Sikha on Parashas Yisrei. The Eilah HaMishpatim Ashatosim Lifneihem, the Gemara says that what is the meaning, the significance of the word Lifneihem? These are the Mishpatim, these are the commandments that you should place before them. And the Gemara gives a number of explanations. Number one, that the Mishpatim have to be lifnei hem, before Jewish judges, the lay lifnei evdei kechavim, that when there's a civil suit between two Jews, they have to bring their case to Jewish judges and not to non-Jewish judges. Even though the non-Jewish judges may rule, their ruling may be similar to the ruling of the Jewish judges, yet you have to go to the Jewish judge. So even if dinehem kedinei Yisrael, even if their ruling is the same as the ruling that the Jewish judges would give, you can't go to the non-Jewish judges, you have to go lifnehem to the Jewish judges. That's number one. Number two, lifnehem. Lifnehem means inward, like panim, pnim, inside. And that means that when you teach these commandments, you shouldn't tell people, this is what you have to do, and the reason for it you'll have to find out yourself, but you have to give them the reason so that they understand what the reasoning, what the logic behind it is. So lifnehem means that these commandments have to be taught with their reasons, with the pnim, with the inside, the background for the commandment. That's number two. And then number three, the Alter Rebbe in Teira Eir explains that Asher Tosim Lifnehem, Lifnehem means Lipnimi Yusam, to their inward essence, to their neshama. And that is that when you teach the commandments, you have to teach also the hidden inner parts of the commandment, the Sosim, the hidden part, the inward part, which stimulates, it reaches and it stimulates the inner part of the neshama, so that the mitzvahs have to be performed with soul, with neshama. And as we've already spoken many times, whenever there are three explanations on the same inyan, on the same word, they must all be connected. So what is the connection here? Also, we need to understand, why is it that these teachings of lifnehem, that it has to be before Jewish judges and not non-Jewish judges, that it has to be with their reason, with their logic, and not without logic, and that it has to be with the neshama. Why does this message or this lesson, why does it appear, why is it given in the mitzvahs that are called mishpatim? We know that there are three kinds of mitzvahs. There are the chukim, edus, and mishpatim, and their difference is in terms of their logic. Chukim are commandments that have absolutely no explanation at all, and we see no benefit in the human condition. Rather, chuka chakakti, gzeira gazarti, God says, I have ruled a rule, I have decreed a decree, and you have no right to question it. That's called a chuka, chukim. So the chukim have to be fulfilled with the acceptance, with the obedience of the yoke of godliness, and not for logical or human reasons. Then there are edus. Edus are the testimonial kinds of mitzvahs that testify to a certain event, like Shabbos testifies to God creating the world and so on. These are not something that human intelligence would dictate. We wouldn't find them necessary by human evaluation, but once they are commanded, we can find explanations. Human intelligence can explain the significance and the benefits of these commandments. Then there are those mitzvahs called mishpatim. These are the mitzvahs which human intelligence demands, feels compelled, because of how necessary these commandments are. Even if God hadn't commanded them, as the Gemara says, we would learn modesty from a cat, we would learn not to steal from an ant, and so on. So these mitzvahs, the mishpatim mitzvahs, are so obvious to human intelligence that we would keep them, we would feel compelled to keep them, even if they hadn't been given. So these are the three different kinds of mitzvahs. So the question now is, the lesson that we get from the word lifneihem, that it should be before Jewish judges and not non-Jewish judges, and that it should be with explanation and with reason given for the commandment, and that we should fulfill the mitzvah with pnimius, with the neshama. Why are these lessons or these teachings, why are they given in connection with those commandments that are called mishpatim? Now, the first explanation, that it should be in front of Jewish judges and not non-Jewish judges, this obviously applies to mishpatim more than to the others. Because in the mishpatim it is possible, in civil suit, it is possible that the non-Jewish judges should come to the same ruling as the Jewish judge. So one might think that it makes no difference which judge you go to, so the Torah has to tell us, lifneihem, you have to bring the case before the Jewish judge and not before the non-Jewish judge. It is obvious that when it comes to the mitzvahs that are edus and chukim, which are godly commandments, not logical commandments, here no one would think that you should bring your questions about chukim, about not mixing meat and milk, no one would think of bringing these questions to non-Jewish judges. So there we don't need to be told lifneihem, before the Jewish judge and not before the non-Jewish judge. But the other two explanations, and that is that the commandment should be given with its explanation, with its reason, and that a mitzvah should be given, should be taught with the pnimius, with the inner core of the mitzvah, so that it stir the core of the neshama, so that the mitzvah is fulfilled with the neshama. Why is that said concerning mishpatim? It would make more sense, it would seem more appropriate to say it concerning the edus and the chukim. The purpose of giving a reason, of giving the explanation for a mitzvah, is so that a person should feel connected to the mitzvah. If I don't understand something, I don't feel connected. I don't feel the relevance. When I do understand, when something makes sense to me, it draws me into the activity, so that I do it with more enthusiasm. Where do I need to be told that I should understand the reason for a mitzvah more than in the chukim? In the chukim, where no obvious explanation, no visible explanation is available, here I need to be told that in order to do the chukim with a little bit of enthusiasm, I need to understand in my mind, I need to rationalize the mitzvah. So if any mitzvah if I need to be told about any mitzvah that I should find out the answer, I should give the explanation to the student so that the student will know, will have a reason to do the mitzvah, it's in the chukim as well as the edus. And yet we are told that we should teach the reason for a mitzvah in connection with those mitzvahs that are mishpatim, which already have an obvious reason, where the reasons are clearly visible to anyone. Whereas with the edus and the chukim, I need to know, and my mind needs to understand that the mitzvah should be done, so that I can do it with a little bit of enthusiasm, with a little bit of involvement. And it's certainly true with the third explanation, and that is that lifneihem means with my neshama. Obviously, I need to fulfill the mitzvahs of edus and chukim with my neshama, whereas by the mishpatim, since I have an obvious need to do these commandments, it's a human need, and human intelligence dictates it, so I'm already enthusiastic about that. What I really need help with is to be enthusiastic, to put my soul, my neshama, into the mitzvahs that are chukim and into the mitzvahs that are edus. What does this mean? Although it's true that the important thing is the doing, is the action, as for example in the mitzvah of tefillin, if a person puts on tefillin but doesn't know the kavana, or even if he knows the kavana, he knows the meaning of the mitzvah, but doesn't bother to think about it, yet he has fulfilled the mitzvah. He makes a bracha and says, who has commanded me to put on the tefillin, and he puts on the tefillin, and he's fulfilled the mitzvah. Whereas if he has only the kavana, but doesn't do the deed, then there is no mitzvah. So we see that the deed is the main thing. However, God wants that when we do a mitzvah, the mitzvah should permeate into our entire being. Not only into that part of the person, which is the action part, the ability to act, not only in the ability to speak, in speech, but also in thought, and even in emotion and intelligence. That they should all be permeated, affected, reached, touched by the mitzvah. And even those faculties of the neshama that are called makifim, the transcendent powers like will and pleasure, even they should be affected by the mitzvah. Which means that not only those mitzvahs that in general are directed to the heart and mind, as, for example, the love of God, the fear of God, the belief in God, and so on, where the mind and the heart obviously are necessary and have to get involved. But even the individual mitzvahs, the ones that are performed in action, not in mind and heart, even they have to affect the entire person. It's not enough that they affect only the actions. Until they reach even the highest of all faculties, and that is the pleasure. A person should have pleasure in doing the mitzvah, because you have to serve God with joy, the simcha of a tuv levov. And therefore, even those mitzvahs that are mishpatim, or just as the mitzvah of mishpatim involves the mind because it has an obvious reason, in the same way, even the chukim, since Teda tells us to do them, we have to do them not only with obedience, not only begrudgingly, to do them because we have to, but we should also involve our mind, that the mind should agree, and to the mind it should make sense that they need to be fulfilled. Not only to fulfill them because we have no choice, because God is the boss and we have to obey God, but rather it should reach into the inner functionings of the mind and heart and become comfortable there also. Which means to say that when we have a logical reason for doing something, the mitzvah becomes relevant. What makes it relevant is that it appeals to my logic. I see the positive consequences, and so it becomes relevant to me, to my being. The chukim don't have a logical reason. We don't see any kind of benefit, either physical or spiritual. And the problem with that is not just that it's not intelligible, but that it doesn't feel relevant. What the Rebbe is saying is that every mitzvah, including the chukim, have to be performed with a warmth, with an enthusiasm that comes only in things that are relevant, that feel relevant. In order to be relevant, there's one of two ways. Obviously, if it makes sense to you, that brings it close, it makes it relevant. But the other way is that when you realize a relevance, when you discover a relevance on the level of the neshama, when the neshama feels comfortable with the mitzvah, with the acceptance of the mitzvah, that makes it relevant to such a degree that even the mind and the heart become comfortable with the mitzvah. So although we haven't really discovered a reason, the mind still doesn't have a reason, an explanation for the chukim, but the mind is now comfortable, the mind feels connected to the mitzvah in that it will find a reason, it will find a justification after the fact because it is already relevant. So when something feels relevant on the level of neshama, it draws all the other faculties, the logic and the emotions, it draws them all into the mitzvah. So when you do something with your neshama, then all of you, every part of you, gets involved and feels connected and feels a relevance, which of course produces an enthusiasm. So now we can understand why the Gemara says that concerning the chukim, ein loch rishus laharir achareha, you have no permission to question it or to doubt it, to question it in thought. Laharir achareha, you would expect that when you give a commandment that doesn't have any explanation, the statement should be, I am making this decree, and you have no permission to not fulfill it, to refrain from it. But here it doesn't say you have no permission to resist or to not fulfill it. It says you have no permission to doubt it in your mind. So now we'll understand why that expression. It's not enough that a person actually fulfill the mitzvah even if it doesn't have a reason, because then he's doing the mitzvah without any enthusiasm, without involving his neshama. The chukim, those mitzvahs that have no explanation, we have to approach with our neshama. We have to reach it on a neshama level. When you reach it on a neshama level, then you have no thoughts of doubt, because you don't feel distant. You don't feel that it's irrelevant. And so that even in your thought, there is no hesitation. Your mind is involved in the mitzvah because the neshama draws the mind, so that ein loch rishus lahadir, you have no need, you have no room for any doubts, even in thought. So not only do you fulfill the mitzvah in action, but that the thoughts are also comfortable and feel the relevance of the mitzvah, even though the relevance is not the result of logic. And so in order to fulfill the chukim properly, you have to have the lifnehem, the pnimius. You have to arouse the pnimius of the neshama so that the rest of the system, the seichel and the middus and so on, are also involved in the mitzvah. The same is also true with the other explanation of lifnehem, and that is that you have to know the reason, the logic behind the mitzvah, because the mishpatim have an obvious reason, and so we don't need to be told that we should give the commandment with the reason. But with the edus, the reason comes from study, from thought, and so we need to be told that the mitzvah should be given with the teaching should be given with the reason, and not wait for the student to find the reason on his own. So again, the question is, why are these instructions given concerning mishpatim when they seem to be more necessary in the edus and in the chukim? The Chazal say on the pasuk Eila hamishpatim that the Eila meisav al harishenim. The Vav, Ve'ela, means that this is in addition to what came previously, what came before. And that is that just as the commandments in Parshas Yisrei were given from Har Sinai, starting with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which, as we learned last week, contains the deepest and most profound concepts of the oneness of God. And then there were those commandments that are so obvious and simple, like not killing and not stealing, which are obviously necessary even to the human intelligence. So these Ten Commandments tell us that all the commandments, even the simplest, need to be permeated with the awareness of the oneness of God with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And now, Parsha Mishpatim begins with Ve'ele, and these are the Mishpatim, which means that in addition to the commandment of not killing, not stealing, that they have to be connected and permeated with the awareness of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the commandments appearing now in this Parsha, in Parsha Mishpatim, they too are like the first, like the previous commandments. They too have to be permeated with the awareness of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And that is the explanation of Lifnehem, and not that you have to bring the Mishpatim before Jewish judges and not before non-Jewish judges. Why is that? Because even though the non-Jewish judge could come to the same conclusion based on human logic as the Jewish judge, but a Jew has to be guided in his life by Torah and not by human intelligence. So when you go to a Jewish judge and he gives you the ruling, that is permeated, his ruling is permeated with the awareness of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that we do this logical thing not only because it's logical, but because it is what God wants. Whereas when you go to the non-Jewish judge, it may be the same logic, but it is not based on the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And this is also what the Alter Rebbe's explanation of Lifnehem, which means Pnimiyas HaNeshama, that the study and the fulfillment of the Mishpatim of Torah have to be not because of human intelligence, but because of the Neshama. So that, for example, if a person says, I will fulfill the chukim, even though I don't understand the explanation, but I'm sure that God has a very good explanation. That's not bringing the neshama into the mitzvah. Because even though you don't have the explanation, you're motivated in the fulfillment of the mitzvah by an explanation which is not available to you. But you are confident that the explanation exists, and because there is a good explanation, that's why you're going to fulfill the mitzvah. That's not bringing the neshama into the mitzvah. So that even in the chukim, you have to fulfill the chukim not because of a hidden reason that may exist in heaven, but you have to fulfill it with your neshama, from the pnimius of your neshama. And so it is also with the learning and the fulfillment of all chukim. And also, concerning mishpatim, we have to work very hard until it is completely comfortable in our mind that the mishpatim are not based only on human intelligence, but that there's a neshama involved even in the simple mitzvah of not killing, not stealing. You have to bring your neshama into that as well. So this is the connection between these explanations, between the three meanings of Lifnehem. They all imply, they all bring out the same message, and that is that in every mitzvah there has to be an inner connection. The person has to be connected to the mitzvah with his mind and with his neshama, and with an awareness that even the simplest mitzvah comes from God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The fact that even in the simple mitzvahs, in the mishpatim, we mustn't rely on human intelligence, that it has to be lifnehem, before Jewish judges, even if the non-Jewish judges are just as smart, there are two reasons for this. First of all, when you do a mitzvah only based on human logic, there is a real danger that from the mitzvah we will come to a sin, we'll come to the aveda. Because as the Gemara says, that the Yetzirah is very shrewd, Hayim Eimaloi Asei Kach, Ulemochar Omaloi, etc., Ache Eimaloi Eved Avedezadim. The Siddiq Rebbe explains, when the Gemara says that the Yetzirah comes to a person with a shrewd plan, today he says to you, do such and such, and tomorrow such and such, until eventually he tells you to worship idols. So the Siddiq Rebbe explained that the Yetzirah will not come to a Jew and ask him to commit a sin. First he comes to the Jew and asks him to do a mitzvah. Asei kach. The Yetzirah says, do a mitzvah. Which means the animal soul, with its intelligence, approves the fulfillment of a mitzvah and says, do the mitzvah. And so the person does the mitzvah. But eventually, because he is guided by his animal soul, eventually the animal soul, with the same logic that drew him to do the mitzvah, will eventually drive him or draw him to do the aveda until the point of idolatry. Another reason is that if we do the mitzvah because of human intelligence, we are missing the essential connection of the mitzvah. Mitzvah meaning connection, tzavsa v'chibur, with Anechi Hashem Elikecha. And it is the whole purpose of the mitzvah to bring about that connection. And as we've said in last week's parsha, that the giving of the Torah broke the decree, removed the decree of the higher world cannot come down and the lower world cannot go up. So we see here how the Oyeinim Yardu L'Tachteinim, that even in the simple mitzvah, you have to have your neshama permeate the mitzvah, and even the person who is on a very low level, where he has to be told to learn modesty from a cat, and God has to scream at him not to steal and not to kill, even the tachteinim, even the lower world, is invited to come up to the higher world, that they should be told the mitzvahs with their meaning, and should be told the inner secrets of the mitzvah, the pnimius of the mitzvah, so that their neshama is involved in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And in a footnote, the Rebbe mentions that there's a medrash on Shmeis, on this pasuk, that says like this: Melech b'mishpat yamedaretz, the king in mishpat, in judgment, establishes the land, but the ish trumeis yahasena, but the gifted person destroys it. So the medrash says that that's a chacham who knows the halacha and the medrash and the agada. He's a talmud chacham, but when people come to him and ask for guidance that he should teach them, he says, osukani bimishnasi, I am busy with my studies, eini pani, I have no time. So God, who is the king, establishes the world with mishpatim, but the ish trumeis, the gifted person, the person who is the scholar, who knows how to learn, doesn't bother to teach the simple person when they come for guidance, and claims to be busy with the study of Torah. And that destroys the world, or the order that God establishes. So we see that this medrash also fits into the same theme of the Fnehim, that the Oyeinim have to come down to the Tachten, and the Tachten has to rise to the Oyein, that the Chacham, as the medrash says, who is busy studying, has to take out time to teach those who have not studied, and those who have not studied need to come to the Chacham and gain the knowledge, the higher knowledge, including even the part of the hidden parts of Torah, the Chassidus of Torah, which in turn stirs the hidden secret part of the Neshama and arouses the Neshama in the fulfillment of the mitzvah, until he does the mitzvah, v'chai bohem, he does the mitzvah in a way that it gives him life, because the mitzvah is a living mitzvah.